Welcome downstairs, everyone. I'd like to introduce two gentlemen from L Acoustics for this presentation. Closest to me here, I have Julien Laval. He's part of the L Acoustics application team. He's been there for more than 4 years and has acquired a solid experience on fixed installation international projects from first design stage to commissioning. After graduating with a BEng in acoustics at the ISVR of Southampton, Julien graduated with the Master of Science in Acoustical Engineering at INSA Lyon. Before joining L Acoustics, he has been working in various different fields of acoustical engineering. And also we have François Montigny. François has two master's degrees from UT Compiègne in acoustical engineering and in cognitive sciences. He holds a PhD in psychoacoustics from INSA Lyon. His research is more specifically focused on sound perception and user-centered design, but he brought his traversal skills to various applications in audio and acoustics. His main role at L Acoustics is to develop the educational program. So I'll leave it over to Julien now. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for coming over. François and I, we did a prepared presentation about sound system design and intelligibility in stadium. This kind of design, we getting more and more projects of sport facilities, and we had to tackle a few things regarding that. The context, we are part of the L Acoustics application team, so our daily work, what we do is we provide product support in loudspeaker, rigging, electronics, and software. And of course, we provide application support for pre-project case studies, sound system, sound design consultation, sound system specification. We do product demonstration, training seminars, and sometimes presentations like that. And the application team is divided into two hubs, basically. There is one that is really specialized in fixed installation, and another part that is specialized in touring. François, as you know already, really deals with everything that is related to education and trainings. And myself, I'm a more consultant liaison between L Acoustics application and various players all around the world. So the perspective of that presentation is really from our perspective, perspective of people who provide help in sound system design. And you can imagine that we receive like tenders and we need to provide technical help also to comply with standard, but also to comply with real sound quality and what is what should be meant to be. So sport facilities, we know the traditional PA systems, which task is to broad emergency signals and voice messages. And now those stadiums are turning into sporttainment systems, I would say. So there is a demand for more system with a wider frequency range for music application and entertainment and such and such. So there are two worlds that are like collaborating at the moment, is the traditional world of PA system in stadium and now the pro audio systems that are coming over into this kind of facilities. And so the challenge is we need to combine audibility, sound quality, and also intelligibility. So this is the topic is going to focus on specifically intelligibility because pro audio market was not so used to deal with that variable. So we are often when we deal with project, we refer often to tenders. And often in tenders, what we see is there are some objective descriptors for audibility, so sound quality and intelligibility. And the target values are the SPL, of course, so we want like appropriate SPL for these kind of places, frequency response, and most of the time, the criteria that is chosen for intelligibility to assess that is STI. So this is most of the time defined in norms, standards, and recommendation. It's a very can be a tricky topic to talk about norms, standards, and recommendation. So I'm not going to go over this. What we're going to do is are going to post this problematic of we used to deal with SPL and frequency as an audio company. And now we want to play around with STI. So what can we do? So just some quick reminders about STI, which is speech transmission index. So it's the prediction of intelligibility. It can be simulated or measured. It's based on finding that the most relevant information is carried by speech fluctuation. So the way it is computed is actually modulation frequencies that actually are correlated with the signal. It is done on 7 octave bands, and there are like 14 modulation frequencies. And you get a score by doing this. So it's not so complex, but there are several variables that are taken into the computation of STI. So you have the direct speech level, you have the background noise level, the reverberant level, and multiple arrival and delays levels. So all of that can degrade actually your STI independently or altogether. The calculation of effective signal-to-noise ratio, accounting for its octave band weighting according to gender speech spectrum. So you have a weighting that is for male and a weighting for female. And psychoacoustic masking as well. So we are going to have a look to those variables in some simulation. So degrees of freedom. So let's say you are a designer, and you need to work on a stadium design. And what you can actually control, you can control the sound source. You can choose them by their directivity, SPL capabilities, frequency bandwidths. The system layout, so you can choose where you are going to put those sources in order to optimize either SPL and intelligibility. And at the last stage, you can control the processing. You can decide what EQ you would put or what delays between the clusters and so on. But there are variables that you are not going to control as a designer. You are not going to control the acoustics of the room. You are not going to be able to tell that shape of a stadium is not going to make it. You're not also going to control the crowd noise. It can depend on various events or whatsoever. The best you can have is to have the information of those uncontrolled variables. So as a designer, I'd be happy to understand how much those uncontrolled variables would actually degrade my design. As a designer, I also have other constraints that are not in tenders. For example, I can be limited in the rigging location. I can have limitation with the weight. I have also some visual consideration, like the aesthetic of the product or the size or whatsoever would not fit. The cabling, the sound localization as well. I mean, if there are like shows in the stadiums, maybe I don't want like the people to hear the sound coming from behind. The ease of installation, because it's related to price as well. So all those constraints are not really going usually to help with the intelligibility or SPL, but they should be taken into account. As a designer, I have a couple of tools. You know the manufacturer proprietary tools, also the software such as SoundVision for L Acoustics, ArrayCalc for DNB, and Map for Meyer, and so on and so on. Those softwares has been mentioned in some previous presentation. They do direct path simulation, and very few of them actually take into account reverberation or reflection of the place. Rigging elements and mechanical calculation. So those software from manufacturer, they have the advantage to bring all the data than acoustics. You have mechanical information such as the weight, such as mechanical limits whatsoever. And I also have traditional tools really dedicated for room acoustics, where they can use statistical calculation or ray tracing. The RT can be either defined by the materials properties that you would put into the software, or measured response that you would also inject into your model. So that's what I have. In both cases, the accuracy of the room model, either with materials and geometry, is a key factor in your design. So having put that context to you, there are a couple of questions that I'm asking is, can intelligibility performance can be anticipated without having knowledge of the acoustic room, for example, without having knowledge of the crowd noise? Can you optimize your design so you can get rid of, so you would not need this information that is sometimes difficult to have? And another question is, which criteria should be used to rank different design options? I have four options. How can I assess that which one is going to be better with a specific intelligibility, also without having the information about acoustical data or noise? So what we propose is to work on the proof of concept. We did made up a model, basically, and we did play around. We just strictly played around and do calculation and see what we could get. So we did make a proof of concept with limited variables. So one venue has a proof of concept that is as close as possible to reality. So one venue, it's a stadium that we chosen with limited rigging location. We chosen one loudspeaker type, and it's a constant curvature line sources, so I will explain what it is. And one type of default layout, so it's a distributed system, but we are going to change some variables in that layout. So the stadium that we arbitrarily choose is this one. It's a typical stadium with four audiences or area. It's a football stadium, or a soccer stadium, with 70,000 seats. So that proof of concept, we limit that with a single product. It's what we call constant curvature line source. And the name of the products are arcs wide and arcs focus. So these are trapezoidal boxes. This is not line source array where you can adjust the angles, but it's just trapezoidal boxes that you put together. And it has a smooth directivity on one axis and a very sharp one on the other one. So two type of boxes, one with sharp directivity of 30 degrees and the other one of 15 degrees. So by changing the size of the cluster, you actually change the directivity of your cluster. And then you can be pretty much like creative in terms of coverage that you would do. So we are going to use those products. They can be used either in a vertical layout or horizontal layout. And we are also going to change the spacing. So we have two different variables, and we limit our design option to four. So we are going to play around with one design, which is going to have vertical layout of clusters with two different types of spacing, and the same for the horizontal clusters. So let's see. I'm going now to present you those options. So the option A. Option A is the, let's say, the traditional one. It's vertical orientation for the clusters. On this stadium, you have 28 clusters with 14 meters separation from each one. And each cluster is composed of 5 loudspeakers. This design, this type of design, is usually done to get homogeneous coverage of plus minus 3 dB. The option B, it's still a vertical orientation, but we would like to know what is going on either with the SPL and the intelligibility when you actually put more space between those clusters. So here, we have 24 meters separation, and we have 20 clusters, so it's also an option that is less expensive. And those are exactly the same clusters made of 5 boxes each. And here, the achievement is homogeneous SPL, but with a range of 6 dB. Option C. So it's something that is less common. It's now when we use the cluster in an horizontal way, taking advantage of the sharp directivity. Here, we keep exactly the same location of the option A. So the only thing that changes is actually the orientation of the cluster. Because of the geometric spread, each cluster is now only 3 loudspeakers each. But we still have 14 meters separation. Achievement, what I can expect from that, is actually to have a minimized overlap between the contribution of each cluster. And one advantage of this one is because I only have 3 loudspeakers per clusters, is I'm going to have like a lighter clusters weight. And the last option that we are going to investigate is vertical orientation with maximum spacing. So we have 36 meters between each clusters. And each one is made of 5 loudspeakers each. So same numbers of speakers than the option A and B. Achievement, it's still the same. We minimize the overlap. The rigging points are also minimized. And we have a very low numbers of speakers as well. So it actually sounds great to see that it might be possible to do some coverage into a stadium with the option C that is very, very cheap. But we have to put all things into their context. Is they don't have the same achievement in terms of SPL. And what you can see now is actually SPL mapping A-weighted for each of these options. So you can see that option A is very homogeneous in terms of SPL. You get it like into a 3 dB range. Option B, you can see that it started to be less homogeneous, and it's 6 dB coverage. And another issue that we start to have using those clusters in the horizontal way is that the first rows and the last rows of the audience area are not as covered as good as you would see for option A and B.
So C and D are horizontal, right?
So, yeah. Remember, this is A and B are the vertical clusters, and the C and the D are the horizontal one. Exactly.
Right. Il y avait une lettre qui était mauvaise.
Okay, sorry for that. But remember that all the graphs are going to stay where there are 4 pictures like that. It's always going to be the same. It's going to be A, B, C, D.
So the cheap one is the one at the bottom right. So here is just a plot of the SPL A-weighted. Now it was in SoundVision, now it's in Ease, so it's really just for visual entertainment. But let's have a look to distribution of the SPL. We have option A, where we have homogeneous SPL, so it's clear that looking at those distribution of SPL, that it's very concentrated around 105 dB, dBA. And as we change options, and especially with option C and option D, you see that these distribution is actually spreading out along the SPL axis range. So in terms of comparison, what is interesting to see is the SPL capabilities, homogeneity, and price. And the last one is very cheap, but in terms of homogeneity, it's not as bad as the option C, but the option C has better capabilities in terms of SPL than option D. So everything has a price, basically. So now let's have a look to the STI. And what we did compute STI in Ease, but without reverberation. So like the row setup directly computed. And what we can see is option A is not the best. Option B, but option A is not the best, but still very homogeneous, at least. Option B is good though, but not as good as option A. C seems to be the best. And option D is fairly good, but issues with actually, in terms of homogeneity as well, it's very spread out. So here it's raw STI, no noise simulation, no RT.
So it's only the effects of the multiple arrivals between the multiple clusters.
And those multiple arrival is actually what the designer can choose by making his design. So just to show you the reverberation that have been simulated in Ease, so it's a pretty nasty one. It's a raw model with raw materials. It's just like concrete for the walls, grass for the playground, and the roof are made of steel. There is no acoustic treatment. So that is kind of the worst case scenario that you could have. And so now, in terms of STI, we would like to see what's going on when you put reverberation on your model. And the values, as you can see, are drastically going down. So the influence of that reverberation time is pretty important. Still, for option A, we have something that is quite homogeneous. Option B, we have the same tendency with the previous one, so something a little bit more spread out. And option C and option D, they give good result of STI, if you see like the best value of STI, but the distribution is very spread as well. And so we decided now to try with the background noise. We kept the same background noise for each simulation, although they don't have the same SPL capabilities. Why we did that is because we wanted to be in a real situation where if somebody gives you a noise level, it's not going to change with the configuration that you are going to choose. So the signal noise ratio between those four options are different. It's not fair for some options, but this is the way it is. So we have a signal noise ratio that goes to 7 and for option A and down to 2 dB for option D. And we did simulate the STI in Ease. And so we have now the influence of the RT plus the noise. And Then the good result that we had for option C and option D were fairly degraded. So we were a little bit mixed up, actually. And what we did, we tried different combination. And rather than looking at directly to the distribution, we did compute the STI rating. So the STI rating is actually the average STI over your area, and you remove the standard deviation. So actually, the distribution that are spread out are actually penalized by their standard deviation. So here you have a graph with the four options. The green is no reverb and masking, so we always kept the masking into account for that simulation. We have put the reverberation, and we have put the noise, as we did on the previous ones. And what we can see is, so apart that the reverberation has an important effect, it changed the rate of the score between those options. Like, with reverberation, option C and option D seems to be the best. But when I put the noise, because those options cannot bring enough SPL, then it put all those four options nearly at the same level. Also, what is interesting to see on this graph is there is the golden one, no reverberation, the green one, reverberation and masking, and no reverberation, masking and noise. So none of these have reverberation. First, for us, we wanted to see the impact of masking, of course, and that masking effect changes with the level of your option. But actually, what it did, if you see the from golden to green, it was just kind of an offset here of STI. And when we put the noise without reverberation, then the option C and option D were very penalized from that. Still, because of that crowd noise and those limited SPL capabilities of those options. So to summarize, the option A has a very good SPL, can reach very good SPL levels. It's very homogeneous, either in terms of SPL and STI. Of course, it's related to the signal noise ratio that is good as well. And another capabilities that this kind of orientation can bring is the capability of zoning your system on the axis of the audiences. So if you have like different like bleachers and balconies, you can like at least control that. But it's not so good for the price. It's the most expensive. And the direct intelligibility was a little bit disappointing as well. So when I say direct intelligibility is without reverberation. Option B, it's kind of like the option A, but not so good, I would say. Option C, we were like happy to see it was providing good STI capabilities. It was fairly well optimized with a rigging weight, and you can do horizontal zoning with this, but not so good in terms of homogeneity, and not so good also with signal noise ratio. So in a stadium where you know that people are going to make a lot of noise, this might not be the best design. Option D, it's the less expensive. It's quite good for intelligibility and horizontal zoning, and it has the same drawbacks as the option C. So from a designer perspective, we can say that uncontrolled variables such as reverberation time and noise are decisive for intelligibility. We could expect that quite easily. The type of design has actually poor influence on the STI, on the perceived quality in the end, because to be able to distinguish a variation of STI of 0.05, it's not easy to do. The design-based horizontal cluster, so as I said, bring best intelligibility when you have no noise. And also, it's better for smaller vertical coverage. What I want to say by this is the audience area was quite big for those clusters, because it's 90 degrees only of coverage. But for smaller audience area, that could be a perfect product. Maybe you could also we could have like the possibility to rig that a little bit closer to the audience area. So the geometry of the place was not so good for this kind of design. But this may be investigated in, maybe in some other like smaller sports facilities. So having done that, I thought it would be fun to actually hear what would be the results of for each option. So we did many computations on different seats, and we are not going to spend the entire afternoon listening to some to all of the stadium. But I've chosen a single representative seat. And I've shown you the multiple arrivals from the other, so the contribution of the other clusters at that specific seat. So just to have a look to those graph, you can see that here you are like many echoes which are less than 50 milliseconds. And you see that the difference in terms of SPL is also less than 10 dB. So it's we can expect something that is not going to be so nice, probably. If I see the option B, in terms of SPL differences between those arrivals is not so big, but I got like bigger spaces between them. And I was very curious about listening to them. Option C, there's a really very good there is a better conditioning of those arrivals, especially in terms of SPL. That seat, by the way, is not taken next to a wall or it's representative. It's in the middle of the audience and it's not on the axis of any cluster. And option D, as you can see, is you have a big difference in terms of SPL between the arrivals and the delay times that are bigger than 50 milliseconds. So what I'm going to do is we are going to listen first to the direct field and to then to the RT, the one that takes into account the reverberation time. And I'd be after those listening tests, I'd be very happy to see which one you actually prefer.
Soundcheck is the definitive audio test disc. It contains practical material compiled as a result of careful research and investigation into the needs of studio engineers, audio technicians, serious audiophiles, record producers, and musicians. The disc has been designed not only to help assess the technical performance of a wide range of sound recording.
Sorry, now with reverberation time.
Soundcheck is the definitive audio test disc. Contains practical material compiled as a result of careful research and investigation into the needs of studio engineers, audio technicians, serious audio files.
It's pretty nasty, huh? It's pretty bad. Now, option B, direct field.
Soundcheck is the definitive audio test disc. It contains practical material compiled as a result of careful research and investigation into the needs of studio engineers, audio technicians, serious audiophiles, record producers, and musicians.
Option B with reverberation time.
Soundcheck is the definitive audio test disc. It contains practical material compiled as a result of careful research and investigation into the needs of studio engineers, audio technicians. Soundcheck is the definitive audio test disc. It contains practical material compiled as a result of careful research and investigation into the needs of studio engineers, audio technicians, serious audiophiles, record producers, and musicians. Soundcheck is the definitive audio test disc. It contains practical material compiled as a result of careful research and investigation into the needs of studio engineers, audio technicians, serious audiophiles, record producers, and musicians. Soundcheck is the definitive audio test disc. contains practical material compiled as a result of careful research and investigation into the needs of studio engineers, audio technicians, Sirius audiophiles. Soundcheck is the definitive audio test disc. It contains practical material compiled as a result of careful research and investigation into the needs of studio engineers, audio technicians, Sirius audiophiles, record producers, and musicians. Soundcheck is the definitive audio test disc. It contains practical material compiled as a result of careful research and investigation into the needs of studio engineers, audio technicians, Sirius audiophiles.
So what do you think? Who's is for option A? So option A, I would say with reverberation time. So let's try to compare reverberation time. So option A, raise the hand. Okay. Expensive, okay. We do too. option B? Okay, two. Option C? We got a little bit more people for option C and option D. Okay, interesting. So there's a lot of controversy, apparently. okay, and if we only talk about the direct field simulation, who would be for option A? So nobody did prefer option A as a direct field simulation. And option B, then? Option C. Okay, we start to have a few people. And option D? Okay, option D is make many people to agree to together. So I find this quite interesting that with that reverberation time, it's very difficult to either with the number or either with the ear to make a difference between those design. However, when we do direct field, it's clear that option D gives quite good result. And myself, I prefer option D. So actually, the job of the designer cannot only target intelligibility. If in the end there's a lot of energy that is spent on intelligibility and you see that the results are going to be not distinguishable because of the place, then what should the designer do then? And at the moment, we are looking for a way to assess and to optimize our design without those data. I mean, when you do a design, we never know. Maybe the stadium might choose to do acoustic treatment in the end. And those, in that way, I mean, the final result of your design might be more audible. At the moment, what we usually do to when we do not have any information about room and noise, we still can make design where we can optimize those delay and level values. In SoundVision, there is a functionality where we can choose a specific threshold. Here you have like example for those four configuration where we took a delay mode of 12 dB and 40 milliseconds, which says that any sources that are below that threshold, so sources difference less than 12 dB and less than 40 milliseconds will be noted as a white dot. When you have a blue dot, is you have a single source contribution. So all the other sources are less, the difference in terms of dB is more than 12. And when you have a red dot, it means that you have a source that has enough SPL, but that is not aligned with the threshold that you did define, in here, the 40 milliseconds. So what we can see with this graph, they do not tell so much about how much STI you can get, but at least you can see which one can be optimized at which seat, at which location. And maybe you can adjust delays to optimize your design. So when we see option B, for example, we have red dots, and we can expect that the delay times actually are bigger than what we would get for delay mode. But this is not intelligibility. This is more about sound quality related with those echo, direct echoes that you did listen to, that is not intelligibility. So here it's a real case study. It's the Bicentennial Arena in Kansas, in USA. So it's made with the same product, the Arx Wide and Focus. I did the calibration for this one and the design preparation as well. So this is the mapping delay mode, this time taking 10 dB and 35 milliseconds. And in this way, I can spot out which region are going to be problematic in terms of alignment. I did do measurements of STI over there, and I did an average. I got 0.54. The worst places I had like 0.44, roughly. So I was a little bit at some location under the spec. So that's about it. So we did see everything about performance, the acoustic environment. We haven't talked so much about the standards. As I said, it's a tricky topic for me. We talked about the design operator, which is able to choose the sound, the source type, the equalization, the source location, and source orientation, but he's not the architect, so he's not able to choose the other things. We talked about design influence, time, frequency range, level. Intelligibility, we talked a little bit about the tools, so you did see ease and sound vision simulation as well. And everything was very focused on that experiment that is not reality, but that gives like some clue to actually deal with intelligibility with sport facilities, because it's very different than what you could meet into theaters or other type of sound system design. So for the future, we've been quickly through a thesis of Timothy James Ryan in 2011. It was done here in McGill University. We are very eager to investigate a little bit more about the influence of those multiple arrivals on intelligibility. We haven't talked about the influence of the frequency content on the STI or on intelligibility, and it can be also an interesting topic, like how can you, with appropriate equalization, optimize the intelligibility. We're still looking for relevant criteria to rank intelligibility of a sound system design when you don't have RT and noise. Delay and level are not enough to actually anticipate this intelligibility. And we also haven't talked about the influence of the overall cluster directivity on the reverberation time. Like optimizing the directivity would help you actually to minimize those RT that are very bad for intelligibility. So that's it. That's it for this presentation. Thanks a lot for your attention, and please, if you have any question, François is going to answer it. Thank you.